Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Mr. Blake Sherwood. He is the strategic partner to Nix COVID, a leading medical equipment provider company. He's also called the CSCO, or for better terms, the Chief Supply and Chain Officer at Nix COVID. And Mr. Sherwood, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks, Eric. Glad to be here.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking out a moment to be with us here today. So, Mr. Sherwood, I understand that you're only 22 years old and you're already an entrepreneur at such a young age. Quite impressive. May I ask, how did it all start? Get into some of those details to lead things off.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am only 22 years old, but have been a work hard, play hard type of guy since I was probably the age of 11. My first job was actually as a law clerk, running papers in the Daily Center in Chicago when I was 11. And then kind of how it all got started is a family come from an entrepreneurial family. Dad owns a cybersecurity company in Chicago, and so I've been exposed to, the entrepreneurial spirit pretty much my entire life. And specifically to Nix COVID, though, is when I was 17, I actually lived in Shanghai. I was a part of a program called the National Securities Language Initiative for the Youth, and that was a program set up after 9/11 to increase students' awareness of the world by studying critical languages. And while living there, I was actually placed with a host family that was a very large important exporter or a trading company. And so I got really exposed to all of the manufacturing capabilities of China. And that's really where I found the love for different, producing products. And I actually started my first company when I was 18, producing apparel for different fraternities and sororities across the country.
Sounds like you were a go-getter from day one and really gained a lot of experience, especially there in Shanghai, and that brings you to where you're at today. Good stuff, and thanks for some of those details. Now, how did you actually enter into the PPE market, and what does it mean to be a CSCO? Touch on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of funny. So, think back to, 18 months ago, 20 months ago, PPE, most people had no idea what it was. I myself didn't even know what PPE stood for. And what happened was is, way back in March, right before all the lockdowns happened initially, there was about one case here in the United States. I was just watching the news, and I was, as I was watching it, I saw a nurse staple her mask together, and I thought to myself, wow, this is ridiculous. We live in one of the best countries on the planet. Why are our nurses and doctors not getting the medical supplies they need? And that's when, the full circle approach happened with my host family in China, because I was communicating with them, making sure they were okay and healthy. And that's when my host dad actually asked me, hey, do you guys need any masks? And this was before masks were even a thing in the United States or anything. And they actually, out of the goodness of their heart, sent about 500 masks to my family. And so that's kind of how, all this, kind of got off to the history books, you could say. One thing led to another. And now being a part of Nix COVID as well. And, transitioning it to, what does it take to be a chief supply chain officer? It's specifically during the pandemic, all of logistics infrastructure has been turned sideways. The best example that I love to give people is, you take a standard 747 Boeing cargo plane. And before the pandemic, it used to cost about $250,000 to charter a full flight from Shanghai to Chicago. But then, for example, now it's approximately $1.1 to $1.2 million per flight. So, with the increase of demand for products being shipped, with having a low amount of supply of planes, it's really turned a lot of the logistics infrastructure on its knees. And it's really, shown specifically here in the States. And it's, if we take a look at Long Beach Port in California, the California's port there is backed up for sometimes 30, 40 days, where there's a time where the vessel is actually sitting in the harbor before it gets taken off. So really what it takes, to be a chief supply chain officer during the pandemic, it really, really takes a lot of, out-of-the-box thinking and creative thinking about, hey, we can't use our normal chains of supply, normal logistics routes. We have to look for alternatives that maybe are working a lot better and smoother. They might cost a little bit more, but in order for us to get our product here on time, we're going to have to look for alternatives.
Yeah, alternatives are a must. Really good that you pointed that out, especially in today's climate. You've got to have an alternative. Really some good information there. Now, tell us, what was your first deal you ever created in the PPE logistics supply chain? Talk to us about that.
So back, again, in March of last year, right when the pandemic was starting up, I was originally working at my family's consulting practice in Chicago, and the first transaction that I was a part of was actually for the state of Illinois, specifically the Illinois Emergency Management Association, or IEMA. And what we did for that is we actually supplied about 60% of the strategic stockpile to the state of Illinois. So what we were supplying them with was face shields, gowns, goggles, hand sanitizer. So a lot, if you're familiar with it, Eric, kind of what nurses wear when they're in the hospitals, all the protective gear from head to toe. We pretty much supplied almost the entire state with most of their medical supplies. So that was kind of the first transaction that we were part of, and we brought in about 10 million pieces of medical supplies for the state. And that's really kind of what, you could say, set us off to the races with things. And then from there on, we work with a multitude of Fortune 500 companies, other government agencies, both in the U.S. and around the world, supplying them with the critical needed supplies to help end the pandemic.
Blake, really interesting so far, and really do appreciate what you're doing in the space as well today. We're joined by Blake Sherwood. He is the strategic partner to Nix COVID, a leading medical equipment provider company here on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, looking at a couple of important factors within the space, what are the trends in fraud in the PPE market?
Mm-hmm. So, Eric, it's really funny as well because, I get asked this question of, hey, is there fraud in the PPE market or in the fraud in the medical supply market? And, one would think no. Why would someone want to intentionally fraud someone? Because if the supplies are, for example, counterfeit goods, those get in the hands of the frontline workers. That could mean, one more death, unfortunately, or one more person being sick. And so when I first got into the space, I thought, everybody was truthful. Everybody, that we were talking with knew what they were doing, made sense to it. But through, we like to say, pull back the onion of things. And once you pull back the onion, so let me give you kind of a scenario that's going on, within the PPE market specifically. Nitrile gloves, the standard kind of blue examination glove that you'd see a doctor wearing, are the hardest product in the world to supply and source right now. There's a global shortage by probably between 4.5 to 5 billion gloves per month in shortage currently, because the factories around the world cannot produce or keep up with the demand, nor is the raw material, the rubber, the NBR, to be able to be produced at a quick enough rate as well. So what's going on is this has now opened up for fraudsters to come into the market, because people are alleging to have, pick a number, 30 million, 100 million, a billion boxes of these, nitrile examination gloves sitting in a warehouse somewhere, a warehouse in Chicago, Long Beach, Texas, New York, Florida, all around these major ports, and alleging and trying to pull these, institutional buyers, the Fortune 500 medical supply companies, trying to pull them in, antagonize them by having cheap prices and ready-to-go product. And then when in reality, all it is a ploy to pull their information. Sometimes even as well, what they do is they use financial instruments. So letters of credit, for example, they'll try to get a company to issue them a letter of credit in order for them to then borrow against it to then fund a separate project. It has nothing to do with medical supplies and usually is just a complete, a fraud scheme altogether. And so that's when, that institutional buyer is now getting, they're getting hurt in the end of the day, and there's no medical supplies going to the end line user. So what this has caused is if you take a look in the news, there's shortages in certain areas. Well, the only true reason why there's shortages is because of all the fraud going on. And so what I like to say as well is, in the next 3 to 5 years, there's going to be another, war dogs type of documentary made on the PPE market, because it's really sickening, because, if people would be more honest and truthful, there'd be a lot less cases, a lot less deaths around the world.
And that certainly is the truth right there. And really appreciate your sharing some of those details to make us more aware of what's going on in the PPE market in the space there as well. Also, what is next for you and Nick's COVID? Anything in the works or anything we should be aware of?
Yeah, so trying to combat all of the fraud going on in the market, what specifically we're doing at Nick's COVID is we're creating our own private labeling, our own OEM of all of our PPE products. So what this is going to do is it's going to ensure to the end consumer that they're receiving true, genuine product that's both meeting certifications, FDA approved, and meets all ASTM standards, and truthfully comes right from the production line then to the end user's hands or onto them to be used as protection. And so what this is going to do for Nick's COVID is we're going to now, we're focusing entirely on creating our own branding sold under the Nick's COVID name. That way we can fully, you know, commit and show to all of our users and buyers that they're receiving that high quality medical supply. And so that's true, you know, kind of what our next steps is, truthfully, as a company, where we've started the production on some of our line of goods. And then by the end of the next month or, you know, the following, we'll have everything fully operational and, you know, product on its way to hopefully Nick's COVID somewhat soon here around the world.
Fantastic stuff. And again, we really appreciate what you do in the space and for taking a moment to be with us here today. Now, of course, we have a lot of young entrepreneurs that tune into this show. What advice do you have for the young entrepreneur who has not put their business idea, has not made it a reality, or they have just started out and need a little direction? What would you have to say for those types of folks tuning in today?
Yeah, so the best advice I could give to any young entrepreneur is to go for it. You know, there's always going to be someone there that's in your life that will tell you you're not smart enough, you're not mature enough, you don't have the right resources to do what you want to do. Well, you know, the best thing to do is we call it the sweat equity. With will, there's a way, you know, and if you want to create something and want to change the world, or you want to create a product or a service that ultimately, as I like to say, makes people happier and helps solve problems in the world, go for it. Because, you know, right now there's too many people out there, specifically around my age, that have incredibly creative and are incredibly outgoing and sharp, yet they don't have the self-confidence in themselves to really go and explore it. And, you know, I actually just graduated from college this past week, and my favorite thing is to, you know, talk with some of my, you know, fellow students, and I say, hey, where are you working? You know, they say, oh, I'm working here, and they're truthfully not happy with it. And I say, why don't you want to be your own boss? Why don't you want to control your own destiny? And if you truthfully have that entrepreneurial spirit, then it's just a matter of, you know, taking that leap of faith and just going with your gut and following truthfully what you believe in. I've been doing it, as I said, Eric, since I was 18, and I'll never want to work for somebody else, because you control your own destiny. You control every aspect of it. And truthfully, it's a really fun life, because you get to ultimately meet people, create things, and I like to say, put a smile on people's faces.
Well, we certainly appreciate those parting words and advice. That certainly is inspirational and motivational, and coming from you, we really do appreciate that. I'm sure listeners want to know how they can get more information online on Nick's COVID. Where's the best place to do so?
Absolutely. So the last thing to kind of leave off is Nick's COVID. You can definitely take a look at our website at www.nickscovid.com for more information. And then another big passion of us as a company is we have a goal of donating about 1 million pieces of PPE throughout this pandemic. We're almost to our goal, but if any listeners know of any frontline user, any user in general that is, you know, in need of product, please reach out to us online. We're very, very big about giving back. So we'd be more than happy to ship out some product to you ASAP and get the product in the hands of those who need it.
Well, that is a tremendous offer right there. We can't thank you enough. Mr. Sherwood, all the best. And thanks so much for what you're doing and for joining us here today on EPN.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Eric, for having me.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Blake Sherwood, the strategic partner to Nick's COVID, a leading medical equipment provider company. And for all the details, visit nickscovid.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.